You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana, here at Island Community Church. We greet you here today on this Thursday. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday with me as we together study the Word of God. We're in the book of Romans here. This is my sermon from this past Sunday. It's entitled The Righteousness of God, with two of the greatest words we ever could read, and that is the words, but now, because the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, has shown us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Remember, that's our striving point, is the glory of God. And he reminds us we haven't attained to that. And now, since the word convicts us as sinners, now here comes the truth of God, where he says here in chapter 3, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's where we're going to be here today. The law convicts us as sinners, and now on the scene is God's plan. This is the plan for how you and I can get right with God. It's his plan. He's done all the work. What's required of us? Well, he just said it right here. Faith, grace and faith, grace. God shed his grace on thee. That is something we don't deserve and something we haven't earned. And on our part, faith and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're at here today. This is part two of this message. If you'd like to watch the sermon, it is on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church on YouTube. These sermons are uploaded on there by 2 o'clock every Sunday, then heard on the radio here, WGOD Radio, during the week, 7:30 a.m., 5:30 in the afternoon, rebroadcast. This Sunday, I will be in Romans chapter 5. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we'll be this Sunday. Tomorrow, we'll be in the book of Revelation. I'm going to look at this character traits of the Antichrist in tomorrow's program. Like I said, 7:30 a.m. here on WMIE, 6:30 a.m. on WWBC, and 5:30 p.m. rebroadcast. All right, here we go. This is part two of this message now, the righteousness of God. And in that day, the government will start meeting the needs of the community, not us. Number three, by you being a hypocrite. Hypocrite, the Greek word hypocrite, is a play actor. Someone had a false face on like a doctor's tongue depressor, right? Say I, You get that little false face in front of your face? Hypocrite. You say you're a Christian and you hurt children. See, when people see that, they say, aha, I knew it all along. I knew that. That old church is all full of a bunch of hypocrites. Number two, you're a bad person. I said, you hurt children, you're a bad person. Number three, you're the same as all the unbelievers out in the world. You drink and you smoke and chew and mistreat your wife, but you're known as a Christian. You see, that causes the name of God to be blasphemed among the unbelievers when you do those kind of things. He says, just be careful not to do this. You're now known by the noble name of Christian. So, that was number three. Number four, dishonest Christians and business owners. Man, oh man, that's another good one. You know, like at the radio station when we're looking for people, plumbers, electricians, roofers, you know, we'll always go with a Christian first before we go with someone else. And then when you contact a Christian business and they're just lying, cheating, and stealing, and they're deceiving, and they're just like everyone else, you see, that's when the mutterers start muttering, I knew it all along. You're all talk. You're just like everyone else. You say that you are a Christian, and you do just like everyone else, and the name of God gets blasphemed among the Gentiles because of what we do. They cause others to blaspheme God and say, I knew it. They're only after money. Or look at the hypocrites in the church. They're no different than everyone else. In spite of that, the phrase you've heard before, that holier than thou, that comes out of them. Here's a fifth way that would lead others to blaspheme God because of our actions. Having ungodly things going on in the sanctuary. Bingo. Another church I used to go to on the island, the Republican National Committee used to meet in the sanctuary every month. I don't think you should use the sanctuary for that. This is God's house. Meet in the fellowship hall if you've got to meet. Meet at the Holiday Inn. Don't meet in here. This is God's house. Should be treated with respect and reverence in God's house. That's my opinion, at least. Now let's move on to chapter 3. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. He's just trying to show everyone that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's his purpose, is to show that none of us are immune, that we've all sinned, and that we're all in need of a Savior, right? Verse 9. What then? Are we any better than they? Not at all. See, now there's the right attitude there, right? We're not any better than anyone else. We have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. And that's the point regarding these last chapters in Romans. We've charged both Jews and Greeks that everyone is under sin. Now he's going to quote the Old Testament to add a little weight to his argument, verse 10, as it is written. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Wow, what an opinion of us, huh? And without the Holy Spirit, we're right there along. This is our autobiography. Without a but now in your life. We're going to get to the but now in a minute, but don't make no mistake about it. This is yours and mine autobiography. We don't seek God on our own. We need help. Am I the only one with a track record of 35 years of not seeking after God in here? Is there anyone else with me? No one is righteous. Everyone's turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good. No, not even one. They even said to Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, what did he say? Right, why do you call me good? He says, no one is good but God. Not saying he wasn't God. He's saying, do you know who you're talking to here? You're talking to me, the Son of God. You're calling me God. So do what I say. Verse 14, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. All in the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. That would be you, BC. That used to be you. Or maybe that's where you are today. Talk about, right? Sword of Damocles, this hammer. The law is like a hammer. And it just incessantly and incessantly pounds you and pounds you and pounds you. Remember, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at one point is guilty, guilty, guilty. So that was us. Whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. For by the law comes the knowledge of sin. That is, the law comes in and says, don't do that. And then you see, naturally, having flesh on, as soon as he says that, what happens? First comes the twitch, right? Then comes the sweaty palpitations.
Nope.
I was fine until he said that, right? Don't do that. It's just like the garden. There must have been a million trees in the Garden of Eden. What did God say to him? Don't touch that one tree right over there. Man, he's the hunchback in Notre Dame, right? He's got the twitch, the sweat beating up on his head. Hands are all clammy like he's going out on his first date, you know? By the law comes the knowledge of sin. That's the whole purpose of the law, is to show you you can't make it on your own and you need help and you're a sinner. God help me, I'm a sinner. What am I going to do? That's the whole purpose. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin, and there we have it. Here is everyone standing so far. We know whatever the law says. Let's call the law the Word of God in the Old Testament. Officially, you could say the first five books of Moses is the law. Got the law and the prophets. Whatever the law says, it says to those that are under the law. That's you without a Savior. So that every mouth may be stopped. That is, there's nothing I can say at this point. Every mouth is stopped. All right. I'm a sinner, and I accept that now. That's the purpose of this, is to get you. This is what the apostle's trying to do, to get you into this place where you can say, okay, that's me. I'm a sinner. Right? And then it's just like on the day of Pentecost. Remember when they said to Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, they said to him, what? Men and brethren, Pastor, what shall we do? You got me. I'm a sinner. Where do we go from here? He says, by any good work on your part, no flesh, not a person on planet Earth, will be accepted by God on their own merit. So again, this is where we stand, October the 19th, year of our Lord, 2025. Without a Savior, every mouth stopped. All the world's guilty. Now, here in verse 22, key turning point in the book of Romans. Everyone is convicted. Everyone is a sinner. I'm standing as a sinner before God. The wages of sin is death. What's my plan? God, what shall I do? Here comes the plan. Verse 22. Starts with the two words, two of my favorite words in all the Bible, but now. But now, see, when we see them in the Bible, they always, because they always work together for my good. Because the Bible is a good book. It offers me help. First, I'm convicted. What do? Here comes the but now. But now, the righteousness of God, remember when I read that phrase to you, the righteousness of God means, but now, how to get right with God has now been revealed. Remember, righteous, what it means, the judge, you're in court, puts down his, slams down his gavel, and in court, he officially says to you, you are not guilty of your sin of unbelief and everything else. That's what it means. The righteousness of God means, how can I get in right standing with God? What must I do to be accepted by Jehovah? What must I do? Now, the righteousness of God apart from the law, that is, how to get right with God without keeping rules, because I can't keep rules. Right? The Bible says I was fine once without the law, but when the law came, sin revived, and I died. I was fine until you told me, don't do that. Like my dad, son, don't put your finger in that lighter. And I waited for him to go, and as soon as he went, down went the thumb. The smell of searing flesh filled his MG midget. I would have been fine until he said that. So now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, has been revealed. Being witnessed, that is, they see it coming, you see, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. How to get right with God's been shown to us. A righteousness that's got nothing to do with you keeping rules and doing stuff, because you can't keep rules. And there's never enough of doing stuff. That was the Pharisees' problem, right? Do this, do this, do this, do this. They'd add more rules and add more rules. And then you throw up your hands and you say, God, help me. So now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, has been revealed. Is the word unveiled. It's the word apocalypse. To take the cover off something. Unveil it. And it's based on faith. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets. Again, meaning the Old Testament saw this coming. This is nothing new. This is revealed in the Old Testament. So finally, after all this condemnation, here's a glimmer of hope, how to get right with God. It's witnessed by the law. You read it in Deuteronomy 18, 18. Moses wrote about it. You read it in the Old Testament. God talked about it with Satan. In the first mention of the gospel, Genesis 3, 15, God said to the devil, someone's coming one of these days, and he's going to put the hurt on you, devil. Goes all the way back to there. So it's witnessed by the law. Remember, Genesis is the first book of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's witnessed by the law, and it's witnessed by the prophets. Let's start with this one. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. It says, but you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. That's from 700 years B.C. Reminds me of my favorite Christmas song, right? Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lying above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by. It's from this verse, Micah. 700. How many people remember what they had for breakfast yesterday? This is 722 years before it happened. This man says, you'll know the Messiah because he's going to come out of this little town of Bethlehem. Zechariah, 500 years B.C. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. And he's righteous and having salvation. He's lowly and he's riding on a donkey. A colt, the foal of a donkey. You'll know the Messiah when he comes riding into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. Or this, Isaiah 59:20, the deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. That's Isaiah the prophet, 600 years before anyone's ever heard of Jesus Christ. So, but now, how to get right with God apart from the law has been revealed. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets, verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. King James Version says the faith of Jesus Christ. Which one's right? Both of them are right. Because your faith is a gift. It's been given to you by God. Ephesians 2:8, your faith is a gift. Not everyone has faith. Look around in the world today. You'll see 6 billion people that don't have what you have. Faith. Belief that Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah. So it's through faith in Jesus Christ. To all and on all. It's to you and it's on you. To all and on all who... What's it say there? Put money in the offering plate. Leave something in yonder bucket. No, that's not what it says. It says to everyone who believes. You receive Jesus Christ without burning one calorie, church. It costs you nothing, and it cost him everything. Pastor was looking at this in Sunday school this morning, looking at the crucifixion. In Mark 15, and everything that it cost, the Son of God. What utter blasphemy to think that we can add anything to what he did. Verse 22 again. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference or no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So verse 22 gives you the answer. Verse 23 reminds you that you need this because all have sinned and fall short or come short of the glory of God. Verse 22 gives you the answer and gives mankind the answer it has been searching for thousands of years now. How can I get right with God? That's what we're looking at here this morning. How can I get right with God? How can I be assured that when I die and leave this world, I will make it to heaven? How can I be accepted by Him? Answer, the way to get right with God is through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Simple message today. The way to get right with God is through faith in His Son. The way to get accepted by God is through faith in His Son. The way to have true, lasting, genuine peace is through faith in His Son. The way to obtain eternal life is through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, there's no more important message than that, right? Now, let me wrap this sermon up here. Once more, let me read these 6 verses here from verse 21. Read it now as a paragraph. We're done dissecting it. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, big word, just means an acceptable sacrifice, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, and to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, so that he might be just and the justifier of the person, of the one who has faith in Jesus. So, just and justifier, same Greek word. One's an adjective, one's an action verb. God is just, that's the adjective. That's the character of God. He's just. He must judge sin, because, and that's another attribute of God, he's holy. He's just. Somebody has to pay the price for sin. Enter in God's Son. And he's a justifier. So now, instead of the adjective, now you got the action verb. And it goes like this. I'll save you, 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 you. I'll save all of you in this house if you will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. He's just, someone's got to pay. He's justifier. He's got his gavel. He's going to slam that gavel down and say, not guilty. That's good news. We'll leave it there for today. Lord, we exalt you in your house. Thank you for your plan. Thank you, you have a plan. Thank you that we still have ears to hear. That we're sinners without you. And we're still under the law without you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our deliverer. Thank you that you made him to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God. All we can do is praise you and exalt you. We worship you, Almighty God. We, like the leper, we return to you. We return to you to give you glory. We thank you for all that you've done. And we praise you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'll leave you guys here with this blessing here today. Last time I looked in the kitchen, there was still some bread in there. If you guys want to take something, grab it with you on the way out. I leave you guys with this blessing here today out of the book of Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless, church family. We'll see you guys soon back in God's house.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. He's Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, John, the Bible tells us we're to love God with all our heart, but we're also told that true believers will fear God. In fact, according to Revelation 14:7, that's part of the gospel. It says, "Fear God and give him glory." So, we're to love him, but also be afraid of him. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's sort of the idea, I think, in a simplistic way, kind of the way I felt toward my father. There wasn't anybody in the world I loved more, and there wasn't anybody in the world I feared more. And I think now that I'm a father and a grandfather, I see that in my kids. In fact, I've actually had them say something like that to me.